And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out. And the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Amen. And he that was dead sat up,
right,
and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea, throughout all the region round about. Amen. God wants to do something powerful in your life today. Amen. I want to preach for a few moments. Are you risen from the dead? Are you risen from the dead? In Jesus' name right now, Lord God, I pray that the Holy Ghost empowers me to speak your word today, God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you will touch and move in every life, God, that we can live whole, risen lives before you, God. Hallelujah. Brand new, born again. Hallelujah. Full of the Holy Ghost lives. In Jesus' name, touch us today, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you for your mercy. We praise you for your goodness. God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. This miracle is reminiscent of those performed by the prophets Elijah and Elisha. Yeah. It resulted in crowds proclaiming Jesus a great prophet. They could remember the prophets, what had happened, and some of the things that had been told to them over the years of how God had done the miraculous things. And here is Jesus on the scene and touching this young man, and God raising him. Jesus raised him from the dead, and he got up and began to speak to them, talking to them. The woman's situation was desperate. For a widow with no heir to support her, she was facing utter destruction. Jesus broke the Jewish legal protocol by touching the coffin, the funeral coach, and thus he rendered himself ritually unclean. And the demonstration of God's power promoted the eyewitnesses to proclaim him, God, to proclaim that God himself had paid his visit to his people. God was in their midst. Amen. God had done something amazing in their life at this moment. Put yourself in those shoes. Amen. Your loved one, your only hope of existing in life is dead. And you call upon the name of the Lord, and all at once that dead carcass gets up and begins to talk. Hallelujah. What a stir that would make in this neighborhood, in this church. Hallelujah. We would begin to tell people, you wouldn't believe what happened in Church of Pentecost last night. Amen. There was somebody that fell dead, and we prayed in Jesus' name, and they got back up and started talking. Hallelujah. What an amazing thing that would happen. And next week there would be no seats left in here because somebody else wants to experience somebody being raised from the dead. The demonstration of God's power promoted the eyewitnesses that this was God at work again in his people. Luke 19, verse 41, it says, and when he was come near, He beheld the city, talking about Jesus, and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children with thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. And Jesus wept. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. It was because of their hardness of their heart that they were dead in the spiritual awareness of where and who the Messiah was. Because of their disbelief, their hardness of heart, they were dead spiritually. In Ephesians 2, 1 and 3, it says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Anybody remember? Come on. Anybody remember when you were dead in your sin? And your trespasses, and God done something miraculous. Verse 2, it says, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. When we were sinners, we were cold-hearted sinners. We lived for the devil. We done the things of the flesh. Amen. We didn't care about spiritual things. We were sinners. We were lost. Amen. In the scripture, Paul was telling the Corinthians that in times past, they were dead. How were they dead? In trespasses and sins. Amen. Sin is death. Amen. We all had our conversations in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. In other words, when we started feeling sorry for ourselves, the pastor didn't spend time talking to me. Nobody has time to listen to me. Everybody's conversation is everywhere else but upon me. We're dead. We're converting back to that old dead nature. When we begin to allow the spiritual, the old mind to come back up in our spirit. We allow that dead man to rise up in our spiritual life. You know, God is trying to get a hold of us here today and say, come on, church, stay alive. Don't let the things that were former arise back up in this church when God's trying to do a work among us. Amen. He's trying to do some things in the Holy Ghost, and we're not familiar, amen, with these things, and we're learning as we go. But and so that means we're going to make mistakes and trouble's going to come, but we got to be careful that we don't allow that to get in our spirit and that deadness get in on us. Amen. And keep us out of the spirit of God, out of the presence of God. Because our flesh rising up. Our flesh getting, oh, why is this happening to me? Why are they doing this? Why am I being treated this way? If you're going around talking about everybody's faults and you can't say anything good about someone, it's called backbiting. It's called gossip. It's called slander, envying, strifes, and seditions and murmurings. Amen. You got to get that stuff out of your life. Amen. You can't allow the flesh to rise up within you. Amen. And kill the spirit. Yeah. Hallelujah. We got to surrender to the Spirit of God. We've got to let the Holy Ghost lead and guide us. We got to stay on fire for God. We can't allow those things to creep back up in our spiritual life. Amen. We got to kill that old flesh. Keep it under the blood. Amen. Keep it buried. Hallelujah. Keep that dead man where it belongs. We got to live in the Spirit. I'm looking here today at some dead spiritual beings. You are alive because you died to the old fleshly ways. Here is what you need to understand today. If you got any of these things that I just mentioned going on, you allow sin to get a foothold in your life. And it causes death. When sin is in our lives, death reigns. Not the Spirit. When we start doing the things we used to do before we crucified the old nature and was filled with newness of life, we were born, when we were born again, God renewed you. He raised you from the dead. Amen? In newness of life. When you're dead to the old ways, that means you're alive in Christ. You got to bury that old man. Got to keep it out of your life. You can't let it rear its ugly head back up in your life. Amen? You got to keep it dead. I'm asking you today, are you risen from the dead? Or is the dead ruling your life, your spiritual walk with what you think is a spiritual walk? And you're going around talking to this one, and you're going around spreading rumors on that one, and you're speaking to that one, and you're talking to that one, and saying these things and that things, and are you dead spiritually? You need to let the Holy Ghost be revived in you. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Paul adds to the list in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 8. He says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead away captives, silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." Dead. Yep. Not allowing the life of the Holy Ghost to control and be in reigning in their life. Paul was basically saying, if you're doing these things, you're dead to the Spirit. You not allowed the Holy Ghost to reign over you and rule your life and be alive in Christ. In other words, if you're living this way, you're dead spiritually. You need to be born again. Right. Afresh and anew. If you've never been born again for the very first time, be born again. But if you've been born again and you've died by allowing these things to come back into your life, right, today is a day to be refreshed in the Holy Ghost and rid yourself of those sinful habits and those sinful ways and say, Lord, I'm going to surrender to the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And I'm going to live in the Holy Ghost. That means the Spirit is now ruling and reigning in your life. Amen. I'm going to allow the Holy Ghost to revive me today and say, God, I say yes to your will and to your way. Amen. And I'm not going to allow the things of that I used to do, the things that I used to say, all to creep back up into my life.
Right.
Romans 8:6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You want the peace of the Holy Ghost in you. You need to surrender and let the Spirit of God be alive in you. Amen. Hallelujah. Not being conformed to the old, but being conformed to the new. Amen. A renewing of the mind. Amen.
Amen.
Be alive in Christ. God's Spirit is life and peace. Hallelujah. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice today that needs some peace and needs some peace of God in your life? I'm here to tell you that God is the peacemaker. Hallelujah. He's the only way that will help you change your life is if you surrender to the peacemaker today. Friend, the Prince of Peace wants to raise you from your spiritual corpse of giving in to your eternal life. Don't allow the old habits of life to creep back up into your life. And if you're feeling bitter and not better, your flesh is alive and not your spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You, my friend, need to find a place to get on your face till the Spirit starts making you better and not bitter.
Amen.
Allow the Holy Ghost to become alive in you so that you can allow the Holy Ghost to rule and reign in your conversation.
Right.
Amen. Are you risen from the dead?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Or has death got its grips on you? Amen. Has death taken over and you speak death into others' lives? Mark 16, 14 through 18 says, afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Here, Jesus was looking forward to a city of spiritually dead people and saw the dead and touched them and commanded them to receive the Spirit of life.
Amen.
So as they looked forward to the city of dead spiritual beings, Jesus commanded them to go into Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. Jesus was telling them that their old, dead, carnal lives were going to die, and now the Holy Ghost was going to make them alive. Hallelujah. Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Hallelujah. You are going to be a witness in Judea and Samaria unto the uttermost parts of the earth if the Holy Ghost is alive. Hallelujah. Are you dead today? Praise God. In our text, when life came into that young man, and it was noised abroad through Judea and through throughout the land. So just like the day of Pentecost, when life entered into the disciples, all the others were there that day. The spiritual living began to speak, just like that young man did.
Right.
Got up and he spoke.
Right.
Amen. When the Holy Ghost is in your life, amen, you're going to speak life. Amen. You're not going to speak death. You're not going to speak ill will toward others. Amen. You're going to allow the Holy Ghost to rule and reign in you. Acts 2, 1 through 4 says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. When they came to life, they got up and spoke.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you spoken since you come to life? Amen. Has it been a while? Hallelujah. Has it been a while since you talked in tongues? Amen. And allow the Spirit of life to rule and reign in you today. I'm here to tell you, come alive. Come alive in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Allow Jesus Christ to fill you with life. This is how they knew they were raised from their spiritual death. Amen. They began to speak. The dead man was dead. That was dead came to life and began to speak. Hallelujah. When you are born again, you will speak in tongues. How will I know that I am really alive in Christ when the dead began to speak? Amen. That's when you know, hey, he's alive. Amen. Listen, he's alive. How do you stay alive in Christ? You begin to speak good and not evil.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's how you know. You stay alive by speaking life. Amen. And not death. Hallelujah. If you're tearing down your brother or your sister, you're dead. You gotta speak life. Amen. You gotta speak love. You gotta tell them, hey, look for the good in their life. Look for the great things in their life and begin to speak it. Get rid of the old ways. Amen. We killed that old man when we buried him in Jesus' name in baptism, and we received the Spirit of God unto eternal life. So we gotta put away the childish ways. Remember the old playground when we used to point fingers and say, you did this and you did that and this and that, you know, look at that and he did this and he cheated and he done that and he treated me that and he looked at me funny. And we got to put those childish things away and allow the Spirit of life to rule and reign in us. Amen. Allow the Holy Ghost to move in us, because you're risen from the dead. Amen. You're not who you once used to be. Amen. The Holy Ghost is alive in you. You've got to keep it that way. Amen. You've got to keep life in your spirit. Amen. Ephesians 4:29 through 31 in the Living Bible says, don't use bad language. Say only what is good and helpful to those you are talking to and what will give you blessing. Do not cause the Holy Spirit sorrow by the way you live. Remember, he is the one who marks you to be present on that day when salvation from sin will be complete. Stop being mean, bad-tempered, angry, quarreling, harsh words, and dislike of others should have no place in your lives. I gotta look at my brother and sister, because one day I'm gonna be in heaven with them. I'm going to stand before my Maker. Amen. When all judgment comes to head. Amen. And I got to say, God, I'm alive. I'm alive in you. Amen. Because I've put off all those things of death out of my life. I've rid myself of talking about this one and saying bad things about that one and putting down this one and not lifting them up. Because I don't understand what's going on. Proverbs 6:16 through 19 says, what the Lord hates, this is what he hates. Verse 16, the Lord hates six things, In fact, seven are detestable to him. Arrogant eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that plots wicked schemes, feet eager to run to evil, a lying witness who gives false testimony, and one who stirs up trouble among the brothers. That's the one he hates. He detests. I pray that you are speaking life to your brothers or sisters, and you're encouraging them. Let's keep this life thing burning in this church. Let's keep the Holy Ghost life burning in our souls and in our minds. If something else has got you detoured, you're dead, my friend. And you need to come back to the cross, the foot of the cross, and say, God, pour your life back into me today. God, forgive me of my sin and help me, God, to stay alive in the Holy Ghost. Help me not to rip on my brothers and my sisters. Help me to encourage them and say, come on, you can do better. You can be lifted up. I can encourage you. I can say, come on, you're doing a good job. Amen. We can begin speaking life. Hallelujah, because we're alive. Amen. We are not going to let death rule in us. And I close James 3, 5 through 10. It says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. That little thing you might say, it didn't seem hard to you. It was just little. But it was offensive. It was not proper to your brother. And the tongue is a fire, verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents, of the things in the sea, is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. Don't try to do it on your own. If you can't get control over your mouth, it's because you ain't let the Holy Ghost rule and reign in you. Amen. Scripture says no man is going to tame your tongue unless you become alive in the Holy Ghost and let it rule and reign in your life. Verse 9 says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so be. Are you risen from the dead today? Amen? Are you risen from the dead? I pray today that if you've been chewing on your brother or chewing on your sister, that you find a place in this altar today to become alive again and get that old fleshly thing dead where it belongs, and let the Holy Ghost breathe life into you. Amen. We're doing great things in the Holy Ghost, and one little thing, one uncanning word can start a course of life that can destroy the brethren. It can destroy the things of God, and God hates that. He hates that. You want to get under God's skin, start doing that. But you don't have to live there. Amen. You can get up and speak today. Why don't we come?